If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be, Luke chapter 2, and then take out your listening guide also that was in your weekly guide. And so Siena, Cypress, downtown, Loop, everybody turn to Luke chapter 2 if you've got a Bible. If there's a question that's been asked more than any other question this week, this would have to be the question. You've asked it, I've asked it, you've been asked it, I have been asked it. It's a good question. Here's the question. Are you ready for Christmas? That's been the big question, hasn't it been, of the week? Now, what happens is one of two things happens when you hear that question. Either one, you go, yes, I am, with great pride. Or you go, oh, no, I'm not, with great, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, type thing. So here we have the big question of the week, the big question of the month. Nobody will ask it a week from today, right? Because none of us will prepare that far in advance to be ready for the next Christmas. But we ask the question, are you ready for Christmas? And when we ask the question, are you ready for Christmas, what comes to your mind? What's the answers that we give? What is it that responds in our mind when we think about, are you ready for Christmas? This is what I usually think about. I think about my shopping. I think about maybe food. I think about wrapping presents. I think about all the Christmas parties. I think about the Christmas fun that we'll have, Christmas cards. We think about all the logistical things, don't we? Now let me reframe the question for you. Are you ready for Christmas is the big question. Let me reframe it. Are you ready for Christ? Changes everything, doesn't it? If Christmas is really the celebration of the coming of Christ to be born in the manger, then the question, the best question is not really, are you ready for Christmas? That throws us to turkey and stuffing and decorations and bows and gifts and plans. But if we ask the question, are you ready for Christ? Now it moves the whole thing around, doesn't it? Sure, there may be gifts. Sure, there may be bows. All of those things are great. I'm not negating that in the least. We have all of those in our home. But are we ready for Christ? Now puts me around the Advent calendar. Now it puts me in an Advent devotional setting. Now it puts me in a December that's walking to understand Christ is coming in the manger. Now it puts me in a place of prayer. Now it puts me in a place to go, what is the big deal with this thing with Jesus? Are you ready for Christ? We've been going through a series called Heaven, Hay, Heart. Now, if you remember, we've been using a Christmas tree to illustrate our point of Heaven, Hay, Heart. If you look at a Christmas tree, you can see by the three corners of that triangle that Heaven, Hay, Heart is there. So I want us to do it. We've been doing it for the last 3 weeks together. Put your fingers up high. You ready? We're going to say it together. We're going to point at the star. Here we go. Heaven, hay, heart. Again, heaven, hay, heart. One more time. Heaven, hay, heart. So when you look at a Christmas tree, I've been hearing about parents saying this. Well, my kid's been saying it. Kids, when you look at a Christmas tree, you just tug on your parent's shoulder or on their arm, and you say, heaven, hay, heart. Here's what it means. It's in your listing guide if you want to put it in the blanks. Heaven has a plan. Heaven has a plan. The hay holds the Savior, and our hearts can be filled. We talked about that heaven has a plan. What was the plan of heaven? Prophecies that hundreds of years before Jesus entered planet Earth, in Bethlehem, there's prophecies that he'd be born in Bethlehem. He'd be born of a virgin. This is what would take place in his birth. Hundreds of years before, they predicted that it would happen. So he wasn't just a normal guy. He was the Savior that God sent. Heaven had a plan. The plan was the star from heaven that the manger would have the star over it and the wise men would follow the star. That's why you have a star on many of our Christmas trees. It's not a holiday tree. There's nothing to do with the holiday and the star. It's a Christmas tree. The star's for the wise men. That's what it's about. And so we've got the star at the top to say heaven is guiding us. Christ showed himself through the Old Testament. Angels spoke out in the New Testament that Mary heard an angel. Gabriel spoke to the shepherds and heaven had a plan. But the hay held the Savior. The hay held the Savior. This feeding trough had a Savior in it that he came to a dirty barn. And the dirty barn had a Savior that laid in the feeding trough. Why? Because he came for the tired. He came for the common man. He came for the very credentialed man. He came for those of us that our sin has made us dirty. We've done things wrong in our heart. We know there's something wrong. There's a dirt. We can't wash our hands to get it off. Jesus's death on the cross is what cleanses us from our sins. So he has come for the dirty. Heaven has a plan. The hay holds the Savior. And now we get to our hearts can be filled. our hearts can be filled. See, Christmas isn't about something at a distance, a mile off. Christmas isn't something about the Middle East. Christmas isn't something about the mall. Christmas is something about my heart. So the question is not, am I ready for Christmas exterior? The question is I'm ready, am I ready for Christ interior? Do you see the difference? Christmas exterior does not have to have anything to do with Jesus, really. Christmas exterior doesn't have to have anything to do with me. Christmas interior gets very personal, and wonderfully so, and gets about Jesus. It's interesting. Even when we hear Christmas songs, what we call a Christmas song, sometimes it's just musical meteorology. Musical meteorology. What do I mean by that? Meteorology is weather. So it's a winter wonderland, and it's let it snow. And you can go to a Christmas presentation, the whole thing will be about the weather. It's really about, let's celebrate December weather. That's what the songs are all about. But when we get Christmas of the real reason, it's about Christ, and that has to do with the heart. So we keep it exterior sometimes instead of bringing it interior. Let's look at how interior it got in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. This is particularly the hay part. Right before it in verse 15, you see angels written in your Bible. That's the heaven part. Verse 16, it says this, and they hurried off, that's shepherds, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough, a dirty, gross place that the Son of God came to. After seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child. Verse 18, and all of those who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 19, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her where? Heart. Underline heart in your Bible. And meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Mary pondered these things in her heart. It got personal. Heaven had a plan. She heard from the angel. The hay held the Savior. She had placed her son there. And now her heart pondered these things. Do you know your physical heart is an absolute amazement? It's an absolutely amazing organ. It's something that I think shows that God created us. Your heart in your body right now, you have a system of blood vessels, arteries, veins, and capillaries. They're over 60,000 miles long. It could go around the world twice. That's what's in you. Now that is crazy, isn't it? All these little capillaries and veins and arteries and blood vessels. The adult heart approximately pumps 2,000 gallons of blood each day. When you pull out the gallon milk out of your refrigerator, you can look at it and think, 2,000 of these. My heart beats blood through my body, 2,000 gallons. Now, how do you keep your heart beating? It just happens, doesn't it? Make your heart stop. Can't do it. Somebody with pacemakers may be like, oh, yeah, I can mess with this thing. Don't do it, okay? We don't want anybody falling out in Cyprus, okay, or Siena, or downtown. So it just happens. The Lord's put it like that way, that it just continues to happen. It beats, the adult heart beats on average between 90 and 100,000 times each day your heart is beating. In a 70-year lifetime, a human heart will beat more than 2.5 billion times. A child's heart is about the size of a clenched fist. Your adult heart, do this with me, take two fists and put it together. An adult heart, that's about the size of an adult heart. That little bitty thing keeps you rocking and rolling. It takes about 20 seconds to circulate throughout your entire vascular system. So this amazing thing is pumping right now in you, in me. Either one fist if you're a kid or two fists if you're an adult. It's going to go, if you live to 70, 2.5 billion times. And Mary pondered these things in her heart. Is that capillaries? Is that blood vessels? No, that's the core of who we are, our hearts. We'll say things like this, won't we? Well, he's really hard-hearted. Well, I'm really tender-hearted. He has a calloused heart. She has a bruised heart. You know what? After they broke up, there was a broken heart. That really lighthearted time that we had together. That movie was heart-wrenching. You know, that was heart-touching. That was really a heartwarming card that you sent me. That was heartfelt, that gift you gave me. I'm going to look on the menu to find heart-healthy. Boy, that song was heart-moving. man, that one decision, that was heartless. That was really cold-hearted. Oh, but let's be more soft-hearted. But the question I want to ask to you, is your heart not filled with all of those words, but is your heart filled with wonder? Because the Christ of Christmas has come to fill our hearts with wonder. That's why he's come. So it says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. She wondered about them. She thought about them. She made them roll over and over in our mind. And when I speak to you the stats of your physical heart, didn't that bring to you a sense of wonder? Wow, around the world twice from my body? Huh, that many beats? Wow. Our physical heart brings us to a place of, you either gotta go, man, evolution is awesome. That is, we are so lucky that it worked out. And I didn't even tell you about what the eye is doing right now and what your brain is doing right now and what your muscles are doing right now. And man, you wanna talk about a powerful amoeba that turned into a tadpole, that turned into a frog. Your heart physically brings wonder, but our heart spiritually should bring wonder. She pondered these things in her heart. The word heart is mentioned in our Bible 1,000 times. Many different ways, but 1,000 times. It's the seat of our emotion. It's the place of our emotion, of where it sits, of our core. I want to really speak from my heart to you today. It's from the core of who I am. And Mary had wonder in her heart. Are you ready for Christmas? No need for wonder. Are you ready for Christ? Whoa. Let me wonder about this. Is Christianity really true? I mean, with all these other religions, is this the one? Because it claims to be the one. Maybe there's 1,000 gods. Well, if there's 1,000 gods, then there's really no God, because there's just 1,000 on the same level. A God is one that rises above, that is completely different. So 1,000 gods would be like 1,000,000 gods, which would be like 10 million gods, which would be like 7 billion gods, which would be like every one of us is a God. But if there's truly a God, then he rises up, and we have to wonder about that and go, okay, if there's truly a God, he's got to be different. I can't set him up. I can't move him around. He sets me up and moves me around, and I look at how he's wired me in even my heart, and I wonder, whoa. Mary wondered about her creation, of who she was, about this baby that came from her womb, of a virgin, that she had never had sex, and yet she had a baby in her womb because it was given by God to be inside her so that God could be the father of this child, and this child could then die to pay for our sins because he'd be perfect. She was wowed by the wonder that she was a part of heaven's plan. Mary was a teenager, a peasant girl. Let me ask you a question. At this point in the journey, she has met an angel named Gabriel. She's had shepherds show up. Wise men are going to come later. They're going to bow down. There's a star hanging out over the hospital here in the inn. Angels, shepherds. Now the Son of God is here. She's a peasant girl. How many angels do you think she had spoken to up until this point? Cyprus, how many wise men had shown up at Mary and Joseph's door? Bethlehem is a dot on a map with no yellow around it. And yet, there's wonder that they are a part of the plan of God. Wow. God wants to do something in you and in me. Wow, God knows where we are. Wow, God knows your name. Wow, God knows every hair on your head. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. He even likes you. Max Lucado puts it like this. He said, there's many reasons that God saved you: to bring glory to himself, to appease his justice, to demonstrate his sovereignty. But one of the sweetest reasons God saved you is because he is fond of you. He likes having you around. He thinks you're the best thing that's ever come down the pike in a while. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring, a sunrise every morning. Whenever you talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, but he chose, listen, your heart. And the Christmas gift he sent you in Bethlehem, face it, friend, he's crazy about you. Does that bring wonder to you? wonder. Crazy about me? I mean, little old me? The God of heaven knows me? Mary had to be pondering these things in her heart. Pondering. You know, one of the worst Christmases I ever had? It's when I found out where I found out where my mom was hiding all the presents. And I went and opened up the closet door, and her closet underneath her coat were hidden all of the unwrapped presents, and I knew every present I was going to get. You know why it was a bad Christmas? It removed the wonder of Christmas. Now I knew. Now I knew. So the wonder was gone. Would you wonder this Christmas about the heart? Are you ready for Christ? If so, there will be wonder. The Christ of Christmas fills our hearts with wonder, but the Christ of Christmas also fills our hearts with peace. He fills our hearts with peace. If you look just a couple verses up in verse 14 of Luke chapter 2, it says that the angels, multitude of angels declared from heaven, glory to God in the highest heaven, heart, and peace on earth to people, that's the heart, he favors. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men, we've heard it said. The Christ of Christmas brings us peace in our heart. We're not a person with a hard heart, callous heart, broken heart, tender heart, heavy heart, bruised heart, light heart, wrenched heart, touched heart, heart warming, heart felt, heart healthy, heart moved, heart less, cold heart, soft heart. We are to be a peaceful heart. Heart at peace. That's why he's come. See, he sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior, and here's what it means. See, every one of us as men and as women, we've done things wrong. We've sinned. We've made mistakes. We've chosen to do wrong. And we said, you know what? I know what God wants to do, but I want to do this. I know what's right, but I'm going to do this. I think a little bit of a lie can get me out of a little bit of trouble. I'm going to choose that right now. I'm going to be selfish instead of selfless. We've all done it. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. It's called sin. And what happens is it disconnects us from God. God is perfect. He's holy. He's blameless. He created us in his image. But we chose, as Adam and Eve did, to eat from the wrong tree. So now there's a disconnect between God and man. Because you can't have unholiness where there's holiness. You can't have your kid come in from playing mud football and sit on the white couch. So how are you going to get it cleaned up? He sends Jesus Christ to make peace like a bridge over troubled waters that we have over that. And now Jesus comes to us because we could have never gotten to him. And now we have here, peace in your heart is when you have peace with God. You'll never have peace in your heart, in the core of who you are, until you have peace with God. And peace with God comes with a big word here, reconciliation. It means to be right with God, that we know that God is right and we're wrong, and we place our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Nobody else. He's the one true God. We place our faith in him alone and trust him and say, Lord, I want to give my sins to you, and I want you to give your righteousness to me. I want to make a trade. I've sinned. You haven't. I want to make a trade. And now when we make that trade, now I can have peace with God. I can have peace with God. Now when I have peace with God, I can have peace with myself. I can be okay with who I am. Peace with God brings peace with myself. Can I just be transparent with you for just a second? I always am. I don't know why I ask you if I can. I have been the whole time, but now you want me to be. So here I am. I have been stressed out this week. I mean, just stressed out this week. And I'll tell you why. I'm working on a book that the manuscript is due December 30th. It's going to be a book on the book of Acts and our journey through Mission 1-8 as a church. It's going to be called Unstoppable Gospel is what it's going to be called. The manuscript's due December 30th, and some things happened that brought delays. And so Tuesday of this week at 3 o'clock in the morning, so really Wednesday morning, I was up at 3:30 in the morning laying in bed stressed out. Finally, till I got out of bed, went into another room in the house, got on my knees, and just pleaded with God, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. I'm stressed about this. I need this to come in here so I can work on it here, and I'm stressed about this. Now, wouldn't you know it that the Lord answered those prayers, and by 5:30 in the morning, that email was in that I needed. But man, I've been stressed this week, y'all. And you can pray for me. It's hopefully going to get better. But, you know, December 30th is coming at me. You know, are you ready for Christmas? Yeah. Am I ready for the book? No. Deadlines are stressful, aren't they? So pray for me on that if you think about it. It's going to be great. I'm excited about it. It all exists. It's not like I'm once upon a time and the cursor is blinking. You know, it's not there, okay? It's in revisions. But you know what? Here's what I talked to. I talked to a friend. He said, how are you doing? And I told him that kind of story. He said, you're not going to believe this. I was up at 3:30 in the morning as well on Tuesday night because I was stressed about something at work I had to get done. I talked to another friend. He said, you know what? I was up at 2 o'clock this morning, this week, because I was stressed about something that needed to be done. And here's what I realized. It's not just a writer. It's all of us. We're tired and we're stressed. Can you wonder on this? He's come to bring you peace. That's why Jesus has come. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Our hearts are filled with peace. And life, when it's filled with Jesus, can be filled with peace. Being right with God is huge. Going to God, even as I did at 3:30 in the morning, I suggest you do the same. If you get stressed, get in another room on your knees and plead with God. It grows your faith. It grew mine. I've done it numerous times. But the third thing and the most important thing is this. The Christ of Christmas fills our hearts with himself. You see where we're going with this? He fills our heart with wonder. Whoa, you mean God has come for me and a baby in the hay to forgive my sins and to live in my heart? God has come for me to bring me peace even at 3:30 in the morning when I'm stressed. God has come to fill my heart with peace and with wonder, but he's come most importantly to fill my heart with himself. If you're familiar with this phrase, that Christ lives in my heart, that we trust Jesus with our hearts, that Christ indwells our hearts. The heart in the Word of God, in the Bible is spoken two people of the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three God, not three gods, all one God. Just as I'm a pastor, I'm a parent, and I'm a husband. So God the Father, Jesus the Son, and then the Spirit of God. Here's what it says. One commentator puts it like this. The heart is the dwelling place of God. Two persons of the Trinity are said to reside in the heart of a believer in Christ. God has given us, quote, 2 Corinthians 1:22, the down payment of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 expresses the desire that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. The love of God, it says in Romans 5:5, has been poured out through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us into our hearts. So here's what happens. When we realize God's over here and we're over here, and we place our faith in Jesus Christ alone, not our efforts, we say, Jesus, I believe you lived and died for me, and I place my faith in you. When we do that, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, lives in our heart. That is the greatest Christmas gift you could ever get. Not your heart's filled with peace. Peace, you know, kind of comes and goes. Not it's filled with wonder. There's sometimes I'm awed and sometimes I'm like, what? Filled with himself. We read in Ephesians a few months ago, signed, sealed, delivered, that our hearts are sealed with him. Jesus comes to our hearts, the indwelling of Christ brings change to our hearts. Did you see verse 16? The shepherds come and they found the baby. And then in verse 17, it says, after seeing them, they reported the message they were told. Verse 18, and all were amazed, and the shepherds said to them, and then they meditated on it. It said that they went straight there, and then they hurried off in verse 16. They had a change of heart. That's what Christmas is about, is a change of heart. That your heart and my heart has changed because Christ has come. Heaven had a plan. The hay holds a Savior. Our hearts can be filled. What most importantly with? Filled primarily, number one, with himself. And if it's filled with Jesus, you're going to have the peace. You're going to have the wonder. You're going to have all that stuff built in because you've got Jesus in your heart. Let me ask you this question. God gave you the heart of himself and his son. So here's the question. What have you given your heart to? What have you given your heart to? God gave you his son. That was his heart. Even when he was stabbed in the side on the cross, blood flowed from where? Coming, pumping from his heart. Coming as he was dead, but coming out of his heart. He bled. His blood was shed for you. Where does blood come from? It comes through your heart. His blood shed on the cross was the heart of God pierced for you and for me to pay for our sins. He gave us his heart in Christ. Let me ask us, what have we given our hearts to? Some of us have given our hearts to a lot of people and they've wounded us and hurt us and our hearts are broken. Some of us have given our hearts to our vocations. And it's good to be a hard worker, no question about it. But you can't give your heart to it. It won't give you enough back. Some of us have given our hearts to sports, maybe, or to hobbies. Had a friend that's an avid fan of a particular sports team. I mean, given his heart to it. And one time as we were talking about spiritual things, I said, you know that nobody from that team will be at your funeral. No coach, no player, nobody from that team is showing up at your funeral. Now, I know you want your coffin to be the school colors, but nobody from there is showing up. If you gave your heart to that, you want Jesus to be showing up at your funeral, right? To take you out of that coffin spiritually and resurrect you because you've given him your heart. I want you to hear loud and clear, you can trust Jesus with your heart. You know what Christmas Day really is? Valentine's Day. It's a love holiday. We got a lot of chocolate, don't we, already at Christmas? But it's about giving your heart away to Jesus. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christ? That's the difference. On our tree, we put a new ornament this year. Thinking about heaven, hey, heart. This is a tree. I'll put it back, Kelly, tomorrow morning after I use it. This symbolizes the whole thing, doesn't it? That the heart of the tree and the heart of the manger and the heart of God is to send a Savior. Bows, ribbons, turkey, dressing, yeah. Are we ready for Christ, so that I could take my heart and give it to him, knowing that my heart sinned, and to trust him with my heart to be my Savior. The heart on the tree is the heart of wonder. It's the heart of peace. It's the heart of him giving himself. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior and given your heart to him? I'm going to give you a chance in just a moment. Have you gotten so into are you ready for Christmas that you've forgotten to ask the question, are you ready for Christ? Because guess what? He's coming again. And just as we have here, the tree symbolizing this heart comes from the manger and it centers in the middle of the tree so that we can know that heaven has a plan, the hay holds the Savior, and our hearts can be filled with God himself. One last time, do it with me. You ready? Fingers up. Heaven, hay, heart. One more time. Heaven, hay, heart. Now I want you to do it a little bit different. Here's what I want you to do. Don't do it with me now. Watch. We're going to do heaven, hay, heart. You ready? Heaven, hay, heart. One more time. Heaven, hay, heart. That's what the heart of Christmas is. Jesus, we come thanking you that you shed your blood. You gave your heart for us. And we pray, Jesus, saying to you, thank you. Thank you for the Valentine's Day gift of Christmas. Thank you that we don't have to be heavy-hearted, cold-hearted, warm-hearted, broken-hearted, bruised-hearted, tender-hearted. We don't have to do any of those things. It's not about emotion. It's about indwelling. And may we this Christmas be ready for Christ. Not just ready for the exterior, but the interior. Maybe you're in Cypress Campus, Siena, downtown campus, the Loop, watching on the internet, does not matter. Are you ready for Christ? If you died today, or if he came back today, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that, to pray from your heart, not your mouth, your heart. It says in Romans 10, verse 9, that when we believe with our heart that Christ was raised from the dead and confess with our mouth, then we will be saved. We got to believe from our heart. I'm going to pray, and you can just repeat this prayer after me. If you're not ready to pray this and you want to hear more about the claims of Christ and study more and understand more, that's cool. Just keep coming back. We'll keep telling you. But if you know right now your heart is beating, he's knocking on the door of your heart, and you want to trust Jesus with your heart, place your faith in him. Pray this with me. I'll pray a sentence and you can just whisper it from your heart through your lips. Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you gave your heart for me. I place my faith in that you are the Son of God. I place my faith that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I place my faith that your blood washes me clean and gives me peace with God. I give you my heart. I ask you to save my heart spiritually. I want you to be the Savior and live inside my heart. If you prayed that believing, then Jesus Christ came inside you and forgave you of your sins as you place your faith in him. I'll never leave you or forsake you. If you're already a believer in Christ, would you just whisper a prayer to God and say, I want to be ready for Christ, not just Christmas. Pray that sentence. I want to be ready for Christ, not just Christmas. Heaven has a plan. The hay holds a Savior. And our hearts can be filled. Let our trees be different this year, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, in the feeding trough, on the cross, and in the empty tomb, and returning again one day. In that name we pray.